Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Our next interview is a conversation I had Friday morning with Governor Bruce Rauner. The Republican is running for his second term in office. A reminder, our election is next Tuesday, November 6th. Governor Rauner, thanks for taking the time to speak with me this morning.
Nyla, yeah, it's wonderful to join you. It's so important that we visit to remind everybody to vote. This is the most important election of our lifetimes.
I wanted to ask you about that. So during your first term, when we're thinking about the past 4 years, for two of that, Illinois did not have a budget. And we know that the most vulnerable people in our state were hit very hard by that in many ways. We've talked to people about how they're still recovering. Looking back on that time, is there anything you would have done differently?
Well, it's important, Nyla, for all of your listeners to know that during the two-year budget impasse, Speaker Madigan had a super majority. He could have passed any budget he wanted at any time, with or without my support. And he didn't pass any budget, not even an unbalanced budget, during the second year of the budget impasse. His goal was to cause the impasse to force an income tax hike, which he eventually was able to do. That was tragic. He hurt a lot of people with his pursuit of that. But now the good news for all of us is we have a balanced budget. Now we can move forward with incremental improvements and change. Now we can grow the economy faster, because the only way we'll keep balanced budgets, the only way we'll have the resources to fund our human services, to fund our schools, to fund all of our needs, is to have an economy that's robust and growing faster than our government spending. That's what we need to achieve, and that's what I'm striving for during my first 4 years as well as in my second term. You know, Nyla, in my first term, we've grown 210,000 new jobs in Illinois. That compares to only 60,000 jobs in the 12 years of Blagojevich and Quinn prior to me. And in my second term, my goal is to add 500,000 jobs, so we really have the expanded tax base to have the money for our human services and for our education. And I'm very honored. All the major job creation organizations in the state have endorsed me. The Chamber of Commerce, the Manufacturers Association, the Builders and Contractors, the NFIB, which is the Small Business Owners. They've all endorsed me because they know that I'm pro-growth, pro-job creation, pro-higher wages, pro-investment. That's the key to balanced budgets. That's the key to a better future for all of our families.
Governor Rauner, you started by mentioning Speaker Madigan. To my knowledge, I don't think he's going to be going anywhere for the next 4 years. So how would you work differently with him over the next 4 years to make sure something like this doesn't happen again? And I'm talking about you specifically, not the speaker's actions, just how you would do things differently.
Yes. Well, you know, Nyla, that's a critical question. The good news is the speaker is weaker now from our disagreements. He's weaker now than he's ever has been. He's been exposed for really not caring about good policy, but caring about political power exclusively. His caucus, for the first time, is calling for term limits. They never used to. Now they're calling for term limits, which is good policy, and they have joined me in that call. And his caucus is now standing up to him because he covered up the sexual harassment that's been occurring in the General Assembly and in the Democratic Party for years, and they're standing up to him. And if the Democratic caucus votes their conscience instead of what Madigan orders them to do, we will get fantastic change in my second term, led by me, but with the support of the General Assembly. You know, Democrats in other states have done what I'm asking for. Democrats in California did term limits and fare maps. Democrats in Rhode Island did pension reform. Democrats in Massachusetts fixed their workers' comp system just like I'm asking to be done. And they fixed their health care and government just like I'm asking to be done. What we need is bipartisan working together, not controlled by Madigan and his own power politics, but by good government, by compromise of reform-minded Democrats with Republicans working together on a bipartisan basis. And I'm very excited that we'll do that in our second term.
Do you feel confident that you have developed relationships over these next 4 years with individual lawmakers that can translate into more action if you were elected to a second term?
Yeah, absolutely. I've spent a lot of time. There are many good-hearted legislators, frankly, in both political parties in the General Assembly in Illinois. They've been intimidated and dominated by Madigan and his incredible power and self-serving manipulation of the system. But down underneath, they know that what we need to do is right. They agree on most of the policies I've recommended, and I'm willing to compromise on things with them that I may not agree with. But as part of the compromise in good faith, we can get it done. That's how we finally got a balanced budget done. That's how we got property tax relief for veterans and got income tax reduction for families who adopt. That's how we got record school funding and a new education funding formula to help our lowest income districts the most. That's how we got the Future Energy Jobs Act done to enhance economic growth and energy options in the state of Illinois. That's how we expanded the U of I with $500 million so that they can grow in Champaign and in Rockford, Peoria, and other communities to grow the tech sector of our economy. That's how we got Medicaid reform done so that we're now national leaders in mental health services. That's how we got criminal justice reform done so we're leaders in justice within our judicial system. We've made progress on a bipartisan basis by working together, and we'll do even more of that in my second term.
You mentioned this public school funding formula. I wanted to ask you about that because I know that you vetoed the first attempt. You called it a bailout of Chicago public schools, and you were trying to get lawmakers to rewrite parts of the legislation. You later signed an overhaul into law anyway. I know you said it wasn't fair, but you thought it was a compromise. How much of an accomplishment is it if you didn't get most of the changes you tried to include in what actually became law?
Well, 90% of that bill was fantastic, and we wanted and needed. There was a bailout for Chicago in the bill, the original one, and even in the final bill. That's not fair to taxpayers in Champaign or Springfield or Decatur or Rockford or Peoria. It's not fair. It's not right. Madigan forced that. But the good news is, and the reason I signed the bill, is that that bailout gets adjusted in the formula over a 3 or 4 year period. In the end, it balances out. And there, in the long run, there will no longer be a bailout. So it's a reasonable compromise, and that's the reason I signed it. But as part of my effort to rewrite the bill, we got included some really major new improvements in the bill that weren't in the first round of the bill. We got some mandate relief on our local schools so that it's good for property taxpayers and so that teachers can be freer to teach the way they choose to teach. We also got one of the most important tuition scholarship tax credit programs in the U.S. so that low-income families can choose a school that fits their child the best. That was added in the new bill that I signed. So we actually improved the bill quite a bit. And as a result, it's, I think, one of the most important improvements in education anywhere in the United States. You know, it's important, Nyla, for your listeners to understand, in the 10 years before I became governor, Madigan and his majority cut state support for our local schools 4 times over 10 years. And we were the worst state for school funding from state government. And we had the biggest gap between low-income schools and high-income schools. I said, no more of that. We're going to stop that. Every year I put in more record funding into schools. And we now have a great new school funding formula that restores equity in the system. It's great progress. I'm very proud of those accomplishments.
A lot of people listening to this governor live in the biggest cities in Illinois outside of Chicago. And I've been talking to these residents about how concerned they are about growing the economy in their towns. And I'm thinking specifically of a question we got from a student in Decatur who was very worried about the economic state of his community. What would you do specifically in your next term to address economic growth in smaller towns outside of Chicago?
Yes. That's a great question, and that's such a stark difference between Pritzker, my challenger, and myself. I am all about faster economic growth, and again, I've been endorsed by all the major job creators in the state. Decatur is an incredible community. I'm there all the time, and I'm the first governor to live in Springfield in decades. I love Decatur. I'm all about Decatur's economic growth, and we need to grow more manufacturing in Decatur, more transportation businesses in Decatur. To do that, we got to reduce the regulatory burden and the tax burden. And that's what's at stake in this election. Pritzker is the exact opposite. He's about the Chicago political machine. He wants to raise taxes. That's going to push more employers out. Our taxes are already too high on our employers. And Pritzker wants $11 billion in new spending. That's going to push job creators into a flood out of the state. It's going to devastate communities like Decatur. Pritzker also supports a lot of the regulations that Madigan has been putting on our companies for years. We have twice as many business regulations on our companies as Indiana has or Kentucky or many other states. And that forces them out of the state. And that's what's devastating for communities like Decatur. We need lower taxes, less regulation, and less corruption. And we'll bring more companies into Decatur, into Peoria, into Champaign, into Rockford and the communities that need it the most. That's what I'm fighting for. That's the way to have balanced budgets and a better future. Pritzker, on the other hand, will empower Madigan. Madigan has created the mess over the last 35 years that has caused high unemployment and job losses in communities like Decatur. Pritzker and Madigan together, nightmare for the state, higher taxes, more regulation.
Governor Rauner, let me ask you, can I just ask you, in terms of taxes for you, because you've mentioned taxes a few times, what you would do specifically for, and let's just start with a personal income tax rate, which is at 4.95%. You've talked about wanting to lower that over a period of a couple of years. So it's 4.95% now. What would you like it to be 2 years from now?
So what I want to do is bring it back down to 3% where it was for decades over the next 4 or 5 years, gradually. And how do we do that? We start off by getting pension reform done that could save $2 billion a year. How do we do that? We get government health care reform that could save $750 million a year. How do we do that? We implement the government shared services and consolidation and mandate relief that bipartisan task force led by Evelyn Sanguinetti recommended that if we did their recommendations, we could save $3.5 billion per year. We don't need to cut human services. We don't need to cut education. We need to make government more efficient, effective, transparent, and less bureaucracy. And if we do that, we've totaled up the savings. It could be $6 billion per year if we implemented all the recommendations that we've put forth. If we did that combined with faster economic growth, we could be like the states around us. They're running budget surpluses because their economy is growing faster than their government, and they're lowering their tax burden. They're not raising their taxes. Kentucky cut taxes, Indiana, Wisconsin. We can do the same thing here. That's the way to a better future, not higher taxes, corruption, and job losses like Pritzker's recommending and like has been done in states like New Jersey and others. New Jersey already has some of the highest income taxes in America, graduated income tax, some of the highest property taxes. They can't balance their budgets. They can't fund their pensions. Taxes aren't the answer. It's economic growth. And that's where I stand and have been endorsed by the job creators.
And so when you talk about, you know, one of the things we've talked about in terms of making up the revenue, obviously, when we look at the billions of dollars of shortfall the state budget has right now, units of government and cutting that isn't going to cut it in terms of making up that difference. Where else do you think we need to be cutting?
Oh, it'll absolutely make up that difference. Nyla, here's the critical point. We have been deficit spending for decades, always spending more than we bring in. And Pritzker has said he wants to raise the income tax and he wants to have $11 billion of new spending on top of what we're already spending. Nightmare for the state. That's the policies that we've been on for 35 years. It's created a mess for cities like Decatur and Danville and Champaign and Rockford and Peoria. It's a nightmare. We can't go there. What we've got to do is make the government more efficient. $6 billion in savings by making the government more efficient and effective. Get rid of the mandates. Stop the overlap of our governments. Eliminate some of the 7,000 units of local government that we have in Illinois, 2,000 more units than even the number two state after us. Government reform and government efficiency combined with much faster economic growth is the answer, Nyla, to a better future. And your listeners should know this fact. If Illinois had only grown our economy at the national average, just the national average over the last 15 years, we wouldn't have any unpaid bills today. We wouldn't have a deficit today. We would have less in unpaid pension liabilities, and we'd be running some budget surpluses. We'd have some extra cash. Only from growing the economy at the national average. And we should be one of the top five growing states in America. Instead, with Madigan in charge for 35 years, taxes, corruption, job losses, we have been one of the slowest growing states. It's devastated Decatur and other communities. And because of our slow growth but fast government spending growth, which created the deficits, the unfunded pensions, the unpaid bills that we have to fix. It's economic growth is the key. That's the side that I'm on, and that's the side that Pritzker and Madigan are against.
I'm speaking with Governor Bruce Rauner. Governor, there are hundreds of thousands of immigrants in Illinois who don't have legal status in some way. Many of them have family members who are citizens or legal residents. What we've been hearing from immigrants generally is they've been afraid since Donald Trump took office. You recently said during a debate with the Chicago Sun-Times that illegal immigrants, you talked about their role in crime in Chicago, as well as taking away jobs from people. What would you say to undocumented people who don't have legal status across Illinois right now?
Well, I would say this. I support comprehensive immigration reform. I always have and always will, and I said it 5 years ago, and I work for that every day. That means encouraging, streamlining, supporting legal immigration, and ending illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is a huge problem in Illinois. Illegal immigration lowers wages. Illegal immigration takes jobs away from Americans. Illegal immigration increases unemployment for American workers. And it's been devastating for our African-American community, many of our lower-income communities that have struggled with unemployment. Illegal immigration takes jobs away from them. And that's the point I made in the discussion at the Sun-Times. I don't believe, and I've seen no evidence, that immigrants per se engage in a lot of violence and crime themselves. I've not seen the evidence of that. What I do know is a fact, and it's not debatable, is an excess supply of low-skilled labor through massive illegal immigration holds down wages and stops wage increases because you have an oversupply of workers, and takes jobs away from American citizens. And unemployment and low wages encourages young people to drop out of school because they don't see a future. It makes it easier for them to get sucked into the gangs, and as a result, increases violence. Unemployment and lack of good economic opportunity increases violence. There's no question about that. And unfortunately, illegal immigration can contribute to that, not through direct violence, but by causing unemployment.
I feel like I've talked to quite a few folks who say they've been turned off by both the amount of money spent on this campaign and, frankly, by the personal wealth of not just you, but your Democratic opponent, J.B. Pritzker. And they wonder, how can Governor Rauner, who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, relate to the problems of an average Illinoisan?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And boy, is there a stark difference between Pritzker and me. You know what? My grandparents lived in a double-wide trailer. I milked cows with my grandfather. I worked my way through school. I was a middle-class kid. Every dollar I've made, I've earned myself, and I'm proud of it, and I never apologize for it. I've made a lot of money by hard work and doing a great job for teachers and police officers so that they could have a better retirement. I invested their pension money and did terrifically well. And I'm giving my money away. I fund schools and libraries and the Red Cross and the YMCA. And I give back because I believe, as the Bible says, to whom much has been given, from whom much is expected in return. I'm proud of what I've done, and I've done it myself. Pritzker never had an honest day's work in his life, never has had a real job, inherited billions of dollars. He has no idea what it's like to work, no idea what the middle class goes through. And to make it worse, you know, inheritance is fine, whatever. He doesn't control that. What he does control is his own behavior. With his inherited billions, he's kept it outside the United States in offshore bank accounts, so he's never paid his proper share of income taxes in America. That is wrong. That is unpatriotic. And then he turns around and wants to raise taxes on the citizens of Illinois. That is so wrong. And he's using his inheritance to try to buy political office. He was caught in FBI wiretap. He donates millions and raises millions to Blagojevich and then says, hey, appoint me to the treasurer's seat, appoint me to the Senate seat. And on that wiretap, he's engaging in self-dealing with Blagojevich before he went to prison. And he uses the language of racist on these conversations. He refers to black elected officials as offensive. And now he's sued for racial discrimination by his own campaign staff. He does not have the integrity or character to lead. And even though he's a multi-billionaire, he's got way more money than me, and he's spending more than $100 million more in this race than I am. Even though he's a billionaire, inherited, he's been given the money, he's been found to have cheated all of us on his property taxes of $330,000 by fraudulently removing toilets from one of his mansions and cheating on his property taxes. All of us in Decatur and Danville and Champaign and Peoria have to make up that difference in the school funding formula. He cheats $330,000 and he's worth billions. This guy lacks the integrity and character to lead. He has no idea what the middle class goes through in the state of Illinois. He should never be in elected office, and we got to stand against him.
That's Governor Bruce Rauner, a Republican who is running for his second term in office. The election is on Tuesday. Governor Rauner, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks, Nyla. Appreciate the opportunity. Everybody get out and vote. We got to save our state.